Don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. All right, guys, welcome back to the Cryptoconomy Podcast. The audio quality might be a little bit lower than it usually is. I do not have some family in from out of town, so I do not have access to my usual setup here and more expensive microphone. So I am back to my original process of recording into my headsets or my headset right on the iPhone. So, but I wanted to still get an episode out today. I didn't want to let this whole thing slip by just because it's a little inconvenient for me at the moment. But I did find an article that Turtemeester tweeted out over the weekend that I'd never actually read. It's all the way back from 2014, but it's a really fun analogy for what Bitcoin is. And I really liked it. I'd heard the analogy a number of times in the past, but I'd never read this article detailing, going into detail about the analogy specifically. But it was really fun, so I wanted to hit this one on the podcast. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump in. And it is titled, Welcome to Bitcoin Island. And it's on Gendel.me. And it's by Richard Gendel Brown, and that's Gendal.me. So I'll link to his blog and the website and everything afterward. But for now, we will go ahead and jump in to Welcome to Bitcoin Island. Forget currencies and commodities. Perhaps the right analogy for Bitcoin is land. Oleg Andreev posted an insightful tweet the other day. Begin tweet. Oleg Andreev. Bitcoin is not a protocol of transfer, but a protocol of ownership. Coins never travel, but simply switch owners. End tweet. You could argue that this is a trivial observation. How else could it work? But thinking in terms of ownership and protocols for transfer of ownership is a surprisingly helpful way to think about how the system works. And that's because the, quote, protocol of ownership insight means there is a whole other world of history, tradition, and precedent to learn from. Land. Here are some observations to motivate the thought. Point. In the end state, the quantity of Bitcoin will be fixed, just like land. Point. Bitcoin is not perfectly fungible, and neither is land. Point. Bitcoin is not consumed through use, just transformed and transferred. This is similar to land and dissimilar to many commodities, which are consumed or at least degraded through use. Okay, not a perfect parallel, but let's go with it for now. What happens if we think about Bitcoin through the lens of land? Well, first, it allows us to think about coins that haven't been mined yet. We can think of them as parcels of land on Bitcoin Island that haven't been released yet. Second, it helps us put some intuition behind the concept of the, quote, unspent transaction output, end quote. These are Bitcoins that have been sent somewhere, but not yet themselves been spent. So the set of all unspent transaction outputs, or UTXOs, can be thought of as the latest state of every Bitcoin that has ever been mined. The UTXO is absolutely crucial to everything in Bitcoin, and yet very few people think in these terms, talking instead about misleading terms like address balances and so forth. But the interesting thing is, if we take a land interpretation of Bitcoin, then UTXOs have a really simple explanation. They are plots of land, and Bitcoin transactions are simply actions that merge or split these plots of land. Imagine I own 20 Bitcoins. My Bitcoin wallet software will show a, quote, balance of 20. but it's likely that this balance actually consists of multiple unspent transaction outputs. Even if I had bought all 20 Bitcoins in one go, it's likely the seller merged several smaller UTXOs that added up in total to 20 Bitcoins. So perhaps I received three plots of, quote, land, 7 Bitcoins in one, 7 in another, and 6 in the third. My total, quote, holdings are 20, but it is formed from 3 UTXOs. Perhaps my holdings on Bitcoin Island look like this. Image caption. We can think of unspent transaction outputs as plots of land on Bitcoin Island. Plots A, B, and C represent 3 unspent transaction outputs controlling 20 Bitcoins. End caption. And now it's possible to teach people about Bitcoin transactions without completely confusing them. Imagine I wanted to buy a secondhand car for 11 of my Bitcoins. Let's also imagine that I pay a transaction fee of 1 Bitcoin to keep things simple. A huge overestimate, of course. I need to do a few things. Step 1. I need to prove ownership of the coins I'm trying to spend. Step 2. I need to say how the coins are going to be allocated. How many am I sending and to where? 11 to the seller, 8 back to me, and 1 for the miner in this case. Step 3. I need to specify what the new owners will need to do to prove they do indeed own the coins. In other words, I need to specify what they will need to do in their step 1 when they try to spend their coins in the future. I do this in Bitcoin by issuing a transaction that accomplishes all 3 steps in one. Here's what it might say. Quote, I own 3 unspent transaction outputs, A, B, and C. In total, they represent 20 Bitcoins. Here is my proof that I am entitled to spend A. Here is my proof that I am entitled to spend B. And here is my proof I am entitled to spend C. I hereby reshape my plot into 2 new plots. One plot 8 units in size, which I call X, and a second plot 11 units in size, which I call Y. Whoever mines this transaction can claim the remaining 1 Bitcoin. If you can satisfy the following conditions, then you will be considered to own X. If you can satisfy the following conditions, then you will be considered to own Y. End quote. I will set the conditions so that only the seller of the car could satisfy the Y condition, and so that only I could satisfy the X condition. That's my change, and I don't want anybody else spending it. The end result is that I have simply rearranged the land holdings. Image caption. Transaction outputs A, B, C are now spent, replaced by 2 new unspent transaction outputs, X and Y. X is my change, Y now belongs to the car dealer, and F goes to the miner. End image caption. But we can go further. We can now have an informed discussion about what, quote, ownership means in Bitcoin. When I send Bitcoins to somebody, I'm not assigning ownership to an individual. What I'm actually doing is laying down a condition, and anybody who can satisfy that condition will be considered the owner. Now, normally the condition is very simple. It says something like, quote, to spend this output, you must prove you know the public key that hashes to the following address, and you must prove you own the corresponding private key by issuing a digital signature, end quote. That's what the OP underscore DUP or OP underscore hash 160 stuff that you sometimes see is usually saying. But the conditions can be far more complex than that. It's all down to how you write your transaction. Where is this going? Okay, so thinking of Bitcoin in terms of land helps us build some intuition around UTXOs, which we can think of as, quote, parcels of land on Bitcoin Island. And we see that Bitcoin transactions are really just a way to merge or split these parcels of land and impose conditions that allow people to assert ownership. And now things get really interesting, because there are all sorts of interesting phenomena that happen with land transactions that we can use to think about Bitcoin problems. Fungibility. The land analogy works because Bitcoins are not perfectly fungible. Sure, there are projects trying to overcome this, but this feels like an arms race between developers and law enforcement agencies. To the extent that fungibility remains imperfect, what drivers could force different land parcels to have different values? For me, the biggest topic on the horizon for fungibility is coin tainting, whitelisting, and other schemes intended to, quote, tag Bitcoin addresses or UTXOs. I see these schemes as directly analogous to concepts like land blight on the one hand and maybe planning gain on the other. For example, if you own a plot of Bitcoin land that has been whitelisted by an exchange or finance firm such that you can access their services, presumably your, quote, plot would be worth more than one that didn't have that property. It is perhaps no surprise that the fungibility issue is so hot right now. Mineral rights and colored coins. Two pieces of seemingly identical land can be worth vastly different sums. If one is sitting on oil and the other has mineral rights, a purchaser will be willing to pay them more for their land than if they didn't. Perhaps this is a useful analogy for colored coins. Two identical bitcoins can trade for different prices if one of them has been, quote, colored by a trusted issuer. What are the taxation implications? What happens when projects trying to add coin coloration to Bitcoin conflict with projects trying to create fungibility? Altcoins. Perhaps altcoins are just different islands. If there is a Bitcoin island, then presumably Litecoin has Litecoin Island and Dogecoin has Dogecoin Island. This interpretation now helps us think more clearly about the role and value of altcoins. Perhaps the innate characteristic of a currency, faster confirmation, use of script, makes the island a more attractive place to live. But if all the infrastructure and population is on Bitcoin Island, then these features may not be enough. Who knows? Charges and liens. It is possible to impose conditions on land parcels in many jurisdictions. A mortgage company can prevent sale of land unless the debt is settled, and some landowners in the UK have been dismayed to discover that their land ownership came with an expensive obligation to pay for the upkeep of a local church. In some cases, the obligation is short-lived, e.g., the mortgage charge, but in others, it persists across transactions, e.g., chancel repair liability. A question I don't know the answer to is, can you write a Bitcoin transaction that imposes conditions on a UTXO that propagate? That is, can you write a transaction such that whoever spends the UTXO must impose the same condition on their transaction output? Conclusion. Of course, the land analogy is imperfect, but I do think there is something to it. If nothing else, the mental image of Bitcoin Island with UTXOs being the plots of land feels like a really useful one. It has certainly helped my understanding. All right, and that will do it. Again, that was by, was it Robert Gendel? Make sure I got the name. Richard. Richard Gendel Brown, and Gendel is G-E-N-D-A-L, and that is the website in question. It is at gendal.me. I will link straight to this article, but like I said, it's 4 years old. This was posted in 2014. So I will also link to just the main blog so that you can check out the other work they have on the website. But I just thought this was a really fun little thought experiment, one of many, in trying to picture what Bitcoin is and what it means to own Bitcoin. And I thought this was a really good explanation of the UTXO set. How do we break it up? What does it mean to send a transaction? And this one was particularly good. It made a lot of sense to just say that, you know, there is a certain space of valid owned Bitcoin, and you exclusively hold or at least in a normal transaction, hold the or can satisfy the conditions that allow you to change the owner, the break up the plots of land, and the further conditions or the next set of conditions that will be required to unlock or move the keys and the ownership of that land in the future. It was a really fun little thought experiment, and I thought it would be cool to read on the podcast. All right, that will do it for today. We'll go ahead and close this one here. We will be back to our regular setup and microphone for tomorrow's episode. So keep listening. I hope the audio quality wasn't too much of an annoyance for today's episode, but we will be back to normal. And don't forget to check out the website. Again, that is Richard Gendall Brown at gendall.me, gendal.me. I'll obviously link to the article, and then, of course, it's 4 years old, so I'll link to the main blog page as well, where you can find a lot of other work by Richard Brown. And it looks like this was the first thing I've read on the blog, so I'm kind of doing some exploring myself tonight. And do not forget to follow me as well at The Crypto Economy on Twitter and Medium and also Mastodon. If you want to link directly to the Mastodon page, you can find it in my Twitter description. And please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so you can stay up to date on all the best articles and discussions in the Bitcoin and crypto land. And leave me a review if you would like. That has been a huge help. Thank you to those who have. And another great way to support the show is you can either buy your Trezor hardware wallet through my affiliate link, which is no cost to you but sends a couple of dollars my way. And of course, you can also, you can always tip me by the address, the Bitcoin address that I will have available in the show notes and on the Twitter post. And that is always a huge, wonderful help. Again, thank you to everyone who has. And I will catch you all tomorrow with another episode of the Crypto Economy Podcast. All right, guys, hope you enjoyed it. Take it easy.